If you have a Bible, get to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 with me. And if you don't have a Bible in a seat back somewhere nearby, you can find a copy of God's Word. Would love for you to just put your eyes right into a copy of God's Word. Man, just sitting out here this morning, every week, I am blown away in some aspect of how God is working. But when you look and see the lineup of young families with the next generation that the Lord has entrusted our church to, what a privilege. God is doing something. When you see a video of new believers who have put faith in Jesus Christ going public and that, man, God is at work. It is so good to see what he's doing in our midst. And we just don't want to take it for granted. We just want to pause all the time and just say, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you for the work that you are doing. I want to echo what Pastor DJ said to the moms in the room. Happy Mother's Day. I mean, with all seriousness, we praise God for each and every one of you, for the role and the commitment and the calling he's given you to raise disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. That calling is massive. And we just are so grateful for you. We pray for you, and we're thankful for you, and we pray that your day is very special with the Lord and with your family. But then, hey, as we turn our attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let me begin with something I think we can all relate to. All of us have known the excitement of waiting for something that we've been looking forward to use. And so we go out to the store and we buy it, or maybe it's delivered to our front door. But nevertheless, we're looking at this big box. And as we open the box, all of that excitement kind of evaporates for a moment as we see what we're so excited to use in 10,000 different pieces that need assembled, right? And so you grab the instruction manual, and off you go for the next couple hours, just piece by piece, putting the thing together. And then there's the moment of truth, right, where you either have to flip the on switch or you begin to use it for the first time. And we know the feeling when it actually works, right? You hit on and it goes and it does what it's supposed to, or you go to use it for the first time and it works and all the parts and all the pieces are working in perfect harmony with one another, and the angels are singing the hallelujah chorus and your kids are praising the Lord for, you know, dad being done with the sanctifying process, you know. But then we also know the other side of that. We're like, we've spent hours putting piece to piece to piece to piece, and you get done, or what you thought was done, and there's like this little 2-inch part laying right there. And what do you all think in that moment? I really hope that's an extra, right? Like, please let that be an extra. And is it ever an extra? No. And so you're like, surely that little 2-inch piece can't be that important, but you go to hit the on switch or you go to use it for the first time and nothing. And you find out that you missed a step on step 4 of step 1, you know, of 137 steps, and off you go to retool the thing because one piece is missing, or because one piece is defective or not doing what it's supposed to do. I start with that a bit of an illustration because as we turn our attention to the work that the Holy Spirit desires to do in the body of Christ, I think that's a good picture for what we find in 1 Corinthians 12 today. We're in this series studying the Holy Spirit, and we began the series with a focus on just the basic question, who is the Holy Spirit? There's so many misconceptions and different ideas out there that we really spent the beginning of our series focused on. The Holy Spirit is a fully God, third person of the Trinity, co-equal with the Father and the Son. We spent the middle of our series talking about what all of us in this room long for. What does life in the Spirit look like? What does it mean that the Spirit of God indwells us? What does it mean when the Scriptures command us to walk by the Spirit? What does it mean when the Scripture talks about a follower of Jesus being full of the Spirit? But now today, we shift our focus on the work that the Holy Spirit does to build up the corporate body of Christ. Because did you know it is heavy on the heart of the Holy Spirit to see the church operating the way God has called the church to operate? And you come to 1 Corinthians 12, and there is mention after mention of how the Holy Spirit gifts every believer with spiritual gifts to be used for the building up of the whole corporate body of Christ, the church of Jesus Christ. And so today, really, the big idea we're going for is this. Everyone with the Holy Spirit has gifts from the Spirit to lovingly build up the body. Everyone with the Holy Spirit has gifts from the Spirit to lovingly build up the body. And so I just want to walk through 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 13 today for us to see that. And we're going to really unpack four parts, what I'm calling the preface at the beginning there of chapter 12, what the point of all of this really is, the picture that Paul gives so we understand what he's talking about, and then the posture that we're to have and how we exercise our gifts. And so the preface, the point, the picture, and the posture, all of those will be back on the screen for you when we get there. But let me pray and let's ask for God's help as we walk through this. Father, as we come to this topic, as we do every week, we just stop and we ask you to help us. Lord, your word is spiritually discerned. We need you to give us eyes to see and ears to hear. We need you to help us understand. And Lord, most of all, we need your spirit to work on us in a way that makes us doers of your word. So Lord, as we turn our eyes, as we turn our gaze to your word, we ask that you would help our hearts hear what our hearts need to hear. And that in all of it, Jesus, you would be glorified. We ask for your help now, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's start with this first part, what I'm calling the preface. What we're going to see here in the first couple chapters of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and the preface is really all about this. It's about elevating Christ. Look at how Paul begins this here. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. He says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit." Now, a couple things we need to understand as Paul makes a transition in this letter to the church at Corinth. When you're studying 1 Corinthians, you'll come across a phrase a couple times where Paul says, "Now concerning this topic." And it seems what we have here is the church at Corinth has written a letter back to Paul looking for instruction on some different topics. One of those topics being spiritual gifts and how they get exercised in the body, because here's what we find out as we keep reading. The church at Corinth was a bit enamored by the spiritual gifts, so much so that there was kind of an unhealthy emphasis on certain gifts over and above others, and it was actually creating a bit of chaos when the church came together to gather. And so Paul is joyfully now looking to give them some instruction on this topic. He says in verse 1, "I don't want you to be uninformed." There's some ways that they're uninformed about the gifts. He goes on to say, "I want you to understand," but what he does with the preface of this topic is he starts by reminding them who they once were and who they now are. And what I love about the Apostle Paul is he doesn't mince words. Look at what he says here. "You all were once pagans, following after mute idols. This is who you were, but you now are not that." How many of you in this room are thankful that you aren't who you once were, right? Right. We read that and I go, yeah, I was once a pagan following after the idols of my own heart, but we're not that anymore. And now leading into this topic and some of the detailed instructions he's going to give on spiritual gifts, he wants them to understand something at a high level. Because remember, there's some kind of chaos going on in the gathering of the church. He says, "I want you to understand," verse 3, "that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. The ministry of the Holy Spirit will never downplay, demean, or lower the lordship of Jesus Christ. Nothing of the Spirit will ever say something like Jesus is accursed." Paul wants them to understand that. And then he goes on to say this. "No one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit."
The ministry of the Holy Spirit will always lead to the elevation of the Lordship of Jesus Christ, where the Spirit of God is working in the corporate gathering of his body. Jesus will be confessed as Lord. He'll be professed as Lord. He'll be elevated as Lord. He'll be made much of as Lord. And so Paul's not deviating from the topic of spiritual gifts here. He's setting the foundation of something. As I begin to talk about the use of spiritual gifts among the body, know this first and foremost, it is all about the glory of Jesus Christ. It is all about his lordship. It is all about those gifts being exercised in a way where Jesus is elevated again and again and again. That's the preface. And it's so important. And it's so important for reasons I'll get into as we make our way through this. Now, what's the point? What's the point? What is the thrust of what Paul wants them to know as he writes this part of the letter? Here's the point. The Spirit has gifted each of us for the common good. By common good, I mean good of the entire body, good of the entire church. Now, let me prove that that is the point. Look with me at verse 4. Let's make our way through this whole paragraph. A lot to pull from this paragraph. It says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Let me just stop there and pull out kind of the first part of this paragraph. Paul is saying there is a whole diversity of gifts. There's a whole diversity of service. There's a whole diversity of activities that happen amongst the body. But it's the same Spirit, same Lord, same God driving and empowering all of those. There's diversity amongst the body exercised in unity. And there's a unity of the body that happens when all the diverse giftings are exercised by the body. It's this beautiful picture of all the parts coming together in their diverse roles and giftings for the building up to the head that is Christ. So variety of gifts, varieties of activities, varieties of service, same Spirit, same Lord, same God. There's diversity and unity. But now look at what we see in verse 7. This is really important. To each, say it with me. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. Let me just stop there and let's focus on that first part of that sentence. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. To every single follower of Jesus, if you're in this room and you have been bought by the blood of Christ, You've at one point seen that your sin has separated you from your holy God creator. You've seen that Jesus has come, paid the penalty for your sin. You have believed on Jesus Christ for your salvation. You have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. And if you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you, you have a manifestation of gift or gifts of the Spirit to each. There is no such thing as an ungifted believer. Every single one in the body, and this has mass, if you don't believe that, it has massive implications for how the whole body is going to operate, as we're going to get into in the rest of this chapter. To each one who is in Christ, who has the Holy Spirit, is given the manifestation of the Spirit. But now keep going in verse 7. What is the purpose of being given that? Why are you given gifts from the Spirit? Verse 7 ends with these words. For the, what's your Bible say? For the common good. To each is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The Spirit of God gives each of us gifts, but those gifts aren't ultimately for us. The Spirit has gifted you, but that gift isn't ultimately for you. It's for the good of the body. Let me drive this point home for us, because it's so important, especially I think in the Western church and in our culture and in our day, that we understand that we have been given gifts by the Spirit. The Spirit has given gifts to you, but these gifts aren't ultimately for you. I have gifts. And if you forgot it's Mother's Day, you're hoping I choose you right now so you can give this to your mom. Luke, Roscoe, can I give you a gift?
Yeah, I would love that.
Awesome. Luke, stand up. And if you would just open this gift I'm giving to you today. And let us know what's in here. It's good to have you home, too.
Oh, thanks.
What is it?
Oh, wow,
$50. $50 Visa gift cards. Now, here's the deal. I've given this gift to you, but it's not for you. You have to give these gifts away,
okay?
And it is Mother's Day, so right now, you have to give these gifts, and it is Mother's Day. Well done, Luke, and Grandma, well done. I got more gifts. Jeff, can I give you a gift? Awesome. You just stand up, let the church know. I'm giving this gift to you, but I think you know what's going to happen. This gift isn't for you. What do we got there? Barnes and Noble's gift cards. Now, you have to give these away. It's a gift to you, but it's not a gift for you. Who do you give them to? Well done. Wise man. Awesome. I love it. All right, I got one more. Seth, can I give you a gift? Yeah. I want you to open this and just let the church know what gift you'll be giving away. What is it? iPhone? It's an iPhone.
Yeah.
We're giving away iPhones. No, that's my phone. No one's getting that. It's so important, again, especially in our day, in our culture, that we understand the gifts that the Spirit of God gives to us aren't ultimately for us. And here's why it's so important. We have to be so sick and tired of Christians taking the gifts that the Spirit of God has given them and hoarding them for themselves or building their own platforms as if those gifts are all about them. They're not. It is about the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ and the building up of his body, that we take the gifts the Spirit has given and we freely, humbly, sacrificially, with servant hearts, we give those to the body of Christ for the building up into the head that is Christ. Amen? And so you see in verse 7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit, and it's given for the common good. Now, Paul goes on to give a list here. You have a list in verse 8. You're going to have another list again at the end of the chapter beginning in verse 28. You have another list of gifts in Romans chapter 12. Something that I think is important, I don't believe that any of these lists in Scripture are meant to be exhaustive, meaning Paul, I don't think, is intending to list every spiritual gift possible out there. Instead, they're meant to be examples. Paul's saying, here's what I'm talking about. Here are some of the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to his people to be used for the building up of the body. He says in verse 8, "For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit." All of these different gifts, they're empowered by one and the same Spirit. And then this is really important. The way this paragraph ends is important. Who apportions to each one individually? And how's that paragraph end? What are the last three words? As he wills. Don't miss that. So it's the Spirit of God who apportions the gifts to each of his people according to what he wills. And why I think that's important, well, let me share a story, and then I'll tell you why I think that's important. When I was gone on my last trip, I always try to bring back some toys for the kids, and I've learned over the course, just buy all three boys the same thing. Or they'll just fight about who got what and who didn't get what. But my little girl, she's my princess, right? So if the boys get a gift at this level, she gets a gift at this level, right? And so the three boys got the same thing, but man, I worked hard. I worked hard to, like, you know, look around, like, this is it. This is what Ellie girl would want. And so I get home late. They wake up the next morning. There are gifts on the counter. The three boys, you know, they're grateful. And I'm noticing what's little Ellie girl doing, right? She's, like, kind of, like, fumbling around with her, but she's looking over at her brothers. And she doesn't mince words. She's a straight shooter. She's like, Dad, why don't you get me what they got? And I'm like, come on. How true is that of us, right? Where it's so easy, when we think about the gifts that God has apportioned to us, it can be so easy to look at the gifts of others and go like, oh, kind of wish I had that one. Kind of wish there was more gifts. But no, listen, the Spirit of God apportions the gifts to his people according to his will. And listen, he's a really wise God. And he's really good at knowing what exactly will build up his body. And so we have this point here that the Spirit has gifted each of us for the common good. He's apportioned according to his wisdom. Now, before we apply this with some specific things, let's go to the picture that we actually see Paul use in this chapter. Here's the picture, and it's a picture of the body. It's an illustration that we're very familiar with. We're all embodied people here. And Paul is using an illustration of the body to help drive this point home. Look at verse 12, 1 Corinthians 12:12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit, a great opportunity for amen and a lot of worship coming, just so you know. For in one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. Praise the Lord. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. You know that when you break your little toe, right? And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, say it, church, all suffer together. If one member is honored, what? All rejoice together. So Paul is using this, we know this, we live this reality. He's using this illustration of the body. He says the body is made up of many parts, all of the parts working together to create the unity of the function of our whole body. We are all one body. There should be, and there's no biblical concept of a disconnected Christian. It's just not biblical. And man, it's so easy for us. It is so easy for us to kind of let our cultural mindset come in, to have this very individualistic picture of our walk with Jesus. It's just not biblical. The body has called to function all together. The eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. We desperately need each other. And there's a power and a unity that comes when all of God's people, the church of the living God, are living out this body reality, all leaning on the gifts of one another. Because here's the reality, not one person has all the gifts. But all of us coming together have a manifestation of all the gifts. We need one another. Come on, we need one another. And Paul, in this illustration, talks about how interconnected we operate. He says if one part of the body's missing or it's not functioning, it puts a strain on the body. We know this, right? We've all been to the doctor, and we're like, it hurts here. And all of a sudden, the doctor starts looking somewhere else. We're like, no, doc, no, it's here. And he's like, no, you're feeling pain there, but your body's compensating for something else that's lacking over here. When one of us, this is so crucial, Redeemer Bible Church, when one of us is like, I just kind of sit on the sidelines, you're putting strain on the body. When one of us is like, that's just where I attend on Sunday mornings, but I don't really do anything else other than that. The body has to compensate for that reality. This, what we're doing right now is so important. To gather together, to sing praises to the Lord, to sit under the preaching of the word. We're committed to that. But this can't be the only time we're gathering. This can't be all that we do. We cannot have a Sunday to Sunday understanding of what it means to live as the body of Christ. We got to be together. We got to get together. We got to do life together. We got to help each other understand how God has gifted other parts of the body, and we got to lean into those giftings. And there's a lot I could keep saying about all that, but I'll stop. But we desperately need one another and the gifts of one another. And remember, we're talking about all of this because we're not talking about natural abilities. We're talking about gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to his people. Now, Paul goes on to finish this chapter, and he says, now you are the body of Christ, verse 27, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? What's the implied answer to all those? No. Not all. Not everyone's a prophet. Not everyone's a teacher. Not everyone works miracles. Verse 30, do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? The implied answer, no, not all of us do that. But some of us do. And we need that to build up the body. And then in verse 31, he says something, I can't go into it fully, but I'll give my initial thought, and then you study it on your own this week. But earnestly desire the higher gifts. Then Paul gives this command, earnestly desire the higher gifts. What's he saying there? I think as you look back at that list, what Paul is dealing with and what he's going to deal with extensively when he gets into verse 14 is some of the ways that they need some instruction on how the gifts were to be used in an orderly manner. And it seemed that in the church at Corinth, there was a kind of an exceptional focus on the gift of tongues. And Paul's going to write to them, focus on a bit of the intelligible gifts, the gifts that edify and build up the whole body. And so as he tells them, earnestly desire the higher gifts. I think it's a reference to this list that he's given of what are the gifts that are intelligible as the body is gathering to build up the body of Christ. But do your own study on that. And he gets into that more in chapter 14. And then he says this, and I will show you a still more excellent way. And he's going to get into that excellent way about the posture. But before we get into the posture, let me just give a couple things by way of application. As we think about this teaching, I have just three words that are important. We need to know the spiritual gifts God has given us. We need to use the spiritual gifts God has given us. And we need to develop those gifts that God has given us. Let's talk about knowing. We need to know the spiritual gifts God has given us. Now, there's all sorts of things. There's spiritual gift tests out there. In fact, if you went to our website, our resources page, go to Work for Christ, you'll find a link to a spiritual gifts test that we use. But you need to understand something about that. That is this helpful. It's a good starting place to maybe give you an idea of how God has gifted you. But beyond that, a couple other things. We need to pray and we need to ask for God to give us wisdom. Lord, how have you gifted me? What spiritual gifts have you given? We need to talk to other believers. We need to gain wisdom from other believers to try to understand that. But the biggest thing, like if I could get across one thing at this point of the message, it'd be this. One of the greatest ways we begin to discern the spiritual gifts God has given us for the building up of the body is just to jump in and serve in the areas the body of Christ has need. I'm telling you, again and again, as God's people just look and see some of the holes and voids in the body and they just begin to step into those voids, the Holy Spirit is masterful at beginning to direct and orchestrate them to how he's gifted and wired them. And so, like, even before you walk out of here today, pull up the register and say you're ready to work for Christ, because we need people filling our prayer room. Just jump in and start praying. We need ushers on Sunday morning. Jump in and start serving. We need people discipling our kids and discipling our students. Pull up that register. Say, I'm ready to work for Christ. And just jump in and start serving. And God often, as his people start jump in to meet the needs in the body, begins to direct and move them to how he has gifted them for the best building up of the body. That's a bit of my story. When I was called into ministry, I began to wonder and sense in college, God, are you calling me to ministry? And what does that mean? And what does that look like? I remember this conversation vividly with God, and then I went back home and had the conversation in West Michigan with my pastor. But the conversation with God went like this. Okay, God, I'll do it. Here's the deal. I never preach. That's the deal. And I said, yeah, I'm in, but I'm not preaching. Make me an associate pastor. Make me whatever, but I'm not. Went back and had that same conversation with my pastor. Think I'm called to ministry. I'll obey, but I'm not going to be a preacher. And so jumped onto our first church staff. I was an intern. The deal was, you can come work for us. Don't say anything stupid, okay? Just come and learn. And a summer preaching date was coming around, and our senior pastor was going to be gone, and the guy who typically preached when he was gone was going to be gone, and then the guy who typically preached when those two weren't preaching was going to be gone. And we're sitting in a staff meeting, like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And the senior pastor goes, Brock, you're going to preach. And I said, no, I'm not. And he said, yes, you are, with a smile on his face. And I said, no, I'm not, with a smile not on my face. And then his smile went away, and he was my boss, and he said, yes, you are. And I went, oh, I don't think I have a choice in this. And so the very first time to preach with knees trembling was purely because there was a need in the body for that weekend that three other guys who typically filled it were all gone. After that, God gave me opportunities to preach to the kids' ministry. And I tell guys all the time, until you've preached to a room full of six-year-olds, you're not ready to preach on a Sunday morning. And then preach to the students. And all God was doing, it was just navigating the needs in the body to affirm something that he was calling. I just jump in. And meet the needs where the body has needs, and it helps you begin to discern and know the way he's gifted. Second, once we begin to know and understand how God has given us spiritual gifts, we got to use our gifts. Go back to that illustration of the body. When we don't, the body has to compensate. There's strain on the body. And often, when it comes to using the spiritual gifts God has given us, I think in our culture, we often just kind of sit back and wait till there's a formal invitation from the stage on a Sunday morning. And at times, that's going to happen. We're going to get up and say, man, we really need, and you're going to go, man, I can meet that need. I can step into that. But even more important than that, begin to use the gifts God has given you in all the informal ways of the life of the body of Christ. And in order for that to happen, we have to be in community with one another. We have to be together outside of just this time. We have to get into discipleship groups. And I know some of us are thinking, man, I tried that. I'm out on that. I'm not doing that. I've done that. We don't get anything out of it. Here's what I'd say to you. What if you don't get anything out of it? And what if you don't get anything out of it for the next 40 years? And what if the people you're in group with do? And what if the body of Christ is built up because you are in it? But we got to be together, doing life together. Because what happens when we're just doing life together in the everyday discipleship group, things of life, all of a sudden we get to see, wow, when you do that, that makes us better. Over the years, we've been in ministry now like, 14 years, and people would show up to our house for counsel, and I'd be like, here I am, the pastor, ready to drop my wisdom of the word of God on you. And just my beautiful, humble, awesome, godly wife would just be there. And then they'd leave and she'd be like, what was that? And all of a sudden, it began, like we had been married, probably 5 years when I went, oh my goodness, God has given her the gift of wisdom, the gift of discernment. And some of my favorite times in ministry are when people show up at the door and they come into our living room and like, babe, get in here. They need help. And I just get to sit there and watch the gifts God has given to her pour out in wisdom and discernment in the lives of people. This is what we get to do. Why would we settle for like, just show up on Sunday and an hour and 15 minutes is going to be pretty awesome. Why would we settle for that? When all week long we can be operating the way God has called his body to operate, we can be seeing brothers and sisters exercising their gifts and being like, God, you are awesome. Look at what's happening because of the way you've gifted them. I'm fired up about that. Okay, last one. We got to develop these gifts. We got to develop them. So we got to know them. We got to use them. We got to develop them. Paul writes this to Timothy in 2 Timothy. He says, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. Don't you love that picture? Fan it into flame. This is fanning, okay? Fan it into flame. Fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Develop that. Lean into it. Go learn from others in the body who are gifted in similar ways. Keep using it. Keep growing in it. Fan that thing into flame. Because one day, church, listen to me, we're going to stand before King Jesus. We're going to stand. We're going to give an account for how we use the gifts he's given us. We're going to give an account for the talents he handed over that we got to lay back at his feet. Come on. We want to stand in a worthy way. Having given our lives for the glory of his name, for the building up of his body, and saying, Lord, man, I just sense as I was walking with you that this is how you had gifted me. And so, Lord, we just sought to use it with our whole hearts to see your body built up. We got to develop these. Now, this is where I got to be done. There's a posture. There's a posture that God calls his people to exercise their gifts in. And the posture is what we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13, the famous love chapter. We hear it at weddings, we see it on coffee mugs, but don't lose sight of this. 1 Corinthians 13 is embedded, boom, right in this section of this letter, all about spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts begins chapter 12. Spiritual gifts and how they are to be exercised as the body gathers is all in chapter 14. And Paul wants us to understand something in 13. Here's how those gifts get lived out. Look at what he says. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Think about this list now and how we exercise our gifts to the building up of the body. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant
or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. This is the means, this is the way, this is the posture in which the Lord calls his people to exercise and serve with the gifts that he has given them. Now, if you look back with your eyes right at the beginning of chapter 13, what does it tell us? Without love, we're like what? We're like what? A clanging cymbal. I've waited 8 years as a preacher for this moment. So, Betsy, if you would, give us a picture of what our gifts carried out with love is like. Now, gifts without love. Betsy, gifts with love. That's enough. Gifts lacking love. Think about it. You know it. You've seen it. We all know it. We've all seen it. Uber gifted people, gifted by the Spirit of God, who exercise those gifts with a complete lack of love. Gifts minus love equals noisiness and nothingness. And when you look at that list, love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. How do we exercise our gifts like that? Answer, only in the power of the Holy Spirit. My daughter, the straight shooter, she'll go out in the little hallway area of the kids for worship time, saying all of this about exercising our gifts in love. And one night I was putting her to bed. She said, "Daddy, are you a mean preacher?" I was like, "Holy Spirit? What?" I said, "Baby, what?" She said, "When I'm out singing, sometimes I'll look at the TV and I'll see you, and you look really mean sometimes up there." And I'm like, literally, it's like an altar call. I'm like on my knees, like, "Lord, I repent." But I'm telling you, like, I went to bed that night wide-eyed, like, "Lord, please. You have made me passionate. But Lord, please don't let me carry out my gifts with a lack of love." For all of us in this room, we're going to go on a journey till we meet Jesus of knowing, of using, of developing the gifts God's given us. And it's only in the power of His Spirit that we have any power to carry those things out, saturated, dripping with the love of Christ all over Him. Amen. So, church, if you would, just stand to your feet. I'm going to send us out of here. My prayer all week for us, right? Here was another sermon on gifts of the Spirit. We have an opportunity right now to walk out of here to say, "Lord, I want to know what they are. I want to use them, and I want to develop them. Not to hoard them and not to build up myself, but to build up the body that you have placed me in and to exalt your name." Let's make that our prayer this week. Redeemer, you are loved, you are sent. Happy Mother's Day. We'll see you next Sunday.